the California girls are really the most.
Radio Dublin on 253 meters medium wave on time band. Time check now is at 1:32, 2 minutes after 1:30. And of course it's news time, as I'm sure most of you will know out there. We've had some exciting happenings in the past fortnight, and we're fairly well promoted this year. News this Sunday. Now it's fairly involved, so anyone who just likes music, I'll be waiting some short, some while before it's going to come on. That's our team tuned there in the background, Bula Bula, courtesy of Capital Radio. Says to Eamon from Capital, with best wishes, April 1978. So our team tune, our religion has not been recovered yet, but I know it. Since it's such an important bit of news, I think first of all we should delve a bit into myself. Many of you out there know, just know me as a voice. Perhaps you've seen an odd photograph in the paper, perhaps you have not, but to most listeners out there, I'm a voice that comes on occasionally on Sundays at 1:30 with news on the station. Some people tune in, some don't. That's very right. News on your station, since it's not really ours up here. Running it for you, whatever your choice is in the way of music or whatever you want. We do try to bring you what we can, as best we can. Since we've had some exciting times, hectic times over this past week, it's best at first, before news, I want to myself a little bit. Since a lot of what I talk about my staff have certainly researched my background. I'm fairly thoroughly. You'll have to excuse the voice, it is a bit hoarse. Lack of sleep among other things. Now, who am I and what am I? Yes, I'm 40 years of age, born here in Dublin, educated over in St. Vincent's, over in Glasnevin. After various jobs, not too many since then. My family, mother, father, yes, still alive, very ultra-Republican. That was my upbringing. Well, there you are. Maybe a bit too ultra-Republican during my young days at school. Work, fortunately or unfortunately, whatever way you take it. Certainly I would take it to the unfortunate. That due to those activities on behalf of the country itself, I had to spend certainly some time in Port Leash, Shendikora. These facts are known now to people who have taken this house apart in the past fortnight. Every letter, every stamp, every document has been turned over and read, and all of these people whom I trusted with my house, the keys of my house, have gone through all of these. A lot of documents have been taken away. Important documents signed by me. They've been taken away and they've been photostated. By a very reputable, at least I would have thought reputable, firm in town. Now there's little point in rubbing a bit of mud in there by naming the firm. But that has been the situation. These documents have been banded about here and there, and I think all have now been recovered, to my knowledge anyhow. There may be an odd copy floating around, but that's it. Well, from there on, a little bit more about me. I got organized, of course, got involved in Radio Dublin, roughly 5 years ago. It was then a very small station operating on Sunday afternoons, sometimes Saturday afternoons, and very low power wind, very short range, maybe a mile, maybe 2 miles. We were quite happy to play records and take in the odd few requests. Well, sometime last year, there was a split in the ranks. There was a disagreement over station policy and a number of other things. And myself and Dr. Don, who now is running ARD Radio, did split. Right, that was okay. We parted on fairly amiable terms. Dr. Don has been to the station here since, during the week with me. We parted, and the station, of course, progressed. It delved into a few more hours per week. It was still small, a hobby station. It was gradually creeping into commercials, but very slowly. The staff of Radio Kildare joined up with us then, and we continued on until September or so of last year, when those staff who live in Naas thought that the distance travelling from Naas up to Dublin here, just for a Saturday and a Sunday, was too much just for the short bit of airspace they had, and I certainly had to agree there. So we parted again on very friendly terms with Radio Kildare, who wanted to set up their own station in Kildare, and they have done so. I haven't had time to listen in to them, but I understand things are progressing down there, and they're enjoying themselves and playing away something similar to ourselves. We then had James Dillon, Jerry Campbell, and a few others join up at the station, and it did become more professional, at least we thought so, and judging by our letters and everything else, it got better. Our range was not great, so we had to improve. We got one of the best, certainly the best engineer in this country to build our transmitter. So that on Christmas week we started off 7-day-a-week operation on Radio Dublin, and we haven't ceased since. We have been running apparently 7 days a week, barring the odd visit from the authorities, which is a hazard to broadcasting. That is about my life story. Certainly I've seen a great deal of life in the country and in the world. I've been around 15 years. Now there's other little items which I don't like going into. But they are common knowledge to all of my staff. So what can one do? Must delve into them. It's unfortunate, even my wife, I'm sure, won't like this idea, but Very well. My background is known. I was married, actually, in 1961. I'm not too sure just what age I was then. There you are. My wife died, unfortunately, of a heart attack in 1965. 2 years later, I remarried, yes. And I am certainly happily married for the past 13 years, and I'm still. My wife, of course, is, I'm sure, inside, listening away to the radio there, and wondering why must I dig up so much. Well, it's already been dug up for me. As one of our ex-staff said, Miss Catherine O'Kelly said, we all have our little secrets. Yes, we all have our little secrets. Everyone out there has some little secret he wants to hide away. Well, a lot of this I would have prepared to be just kept to myself, but that was not so. I left this studio, this station, in the charge of Mr. John O'Brien, usually known on the radio there as John Paul. I handed him over the keys of my house and said, there you are, John, will you take care of this house, this studio, make sure this station operates as it should. And I think I was very satisfied that that would happen. Unfortunately, it did not. But I was not to know. I had an offer of a holiday in Spain, free. I didn't have to pay passage or anything else. That some of the staff could go off to Spain for 1 week, just 7 short days away from this hectic life. Actually 20, 24 hours a day sometimes working on the station. So we felt we needed a break to gather our forces again and progress a little more forward towards a license for Radio Dublin. So Sunday fortnight we left, late at night, on a plane. Myself and 4 others. Sylvia was among them. A group of 5, one of them a young child of 6 years of age, just gone 6. And off we went to Spain. We enjoyed ourselves. We sat out in the sun. We had a most enjoyable time. I came back with maybe a little too much sunburn, but it was good. We had no great worries. We wondered a little about the station, but we took it for granted that everything would run right. We had a reliable crew. Everybody would be fairly well on time with programs. The commercials had all been lined up and they would go out properly, so what had we to worry about? Well, yes, what had we to worry about? I'd like to tell you, let you hear a little about that after the news. And so we arrived back in Dublin Airport and were met by Mr. James Dillon and Jerry Campbell, and we were shown a copy of Sunday World, Sunday Week's Sunday World. Put an article in it there on the station. Fairly bad, certainly, there's no doubt of that. Saying that all of the staff had mutinied. A statement had been issued to the papers and all the rest. When I asked whether this was in fact true, nobody would say whether it was all true or not true, so I had to assume that it was. I returned to the station then within a short time. I was told, of course, that it was off the air, that there had been a breakdown in the transmitter. And so I returned to the station. John Paul was the only one in the place. 5 minutes before that, all of the staff had been here waiting for me. But I understand Mr. James Dillon had telephoned the station, made contact here on the phone, and asked that the station be cleared. All except for John Paul. Whether Mr. Frank Murray, an employee of Lasky's of Ratmines, actually cleared the station or not is not too clear at this point. But word is that he very ably cleared this station of people. And that was the situation. I came back to No station. As I had been warned before the holidays that if two of us, two people in control as such of Radio Dublin, left the station for any length of time, that we would have no station. That's what I was told, and that is what I got. No station. Attempts were made then by myself, right through Sunday into Sunday night, to assemble some type of standby transmitter. And I will take a quick rundown as to what I found in the station when I did come back. First of all, the main transmitter, as I said earlier in news last week, was not working. That was all I could say about it. I could not say it had been sabotaged or anything like that, because first of all, I hadn't examined it. I just looked at it, it was burnt out, had gone on fire, and that was it. It was the following day before I had proper time to examine and everything else, and discovered that there were no doubts at all, sabotage was involved. Other things which I can only say were actually broken down. Our set of record decks, twin decks we normally use with records in each deck, they were not working. Nobody can say what happened, neither can I. Both of our tape decks were not working. They are working now, certainly. But at that stage, they were not. Our microphone, again, was not working. I can't give a reason for this either. Many other little things happened about the station, certainly. Pre-recorded programs amounting to at least 50 hours had been wiped clean. There was nothing on them, because I had intended, when I did get the transmitter back working late on Sunday night, to at least put on some type of programming. But searching through tapes found them all to be blank. Most of the good commercials, which were ongoing and would continue for some time, they too had been taken away from the station, or at least they are not in the station now, that's all I can say of them. I'm trying in this news now to stick to bare basic facts without surmising and hearsay and everything else. I'm attempting to stick to actual basic facts, so if I don't mention some things and name out names, that's because I just simply have not absolute proof on them. So we'll take ourselves on to what else was found in the station. Damage. Yes, certainly there was an amount of damage. Not to a great extent. Nobody went around with a hammer breaking up things. Granted, our video monitor, its light for it, for lighting up the station here at night times. Granted, yes, it was damaged outside, but there's various reasons why that could have been done. Our letterheads and our car stickers, well, now they are a different story. Many of you will have seen car stickers, Radio Dublin car stickers, 253 metres on them, on cars and on lampposts and everything else around town. Well, we did originally have 10,000 of them. They were available free to all of our listeners, yes, and a lot of you have them out there still. We had disposed, I think, of about 5,000, I think, and we should have had 5,000 remaining. And if you can excuse me just 1 second, a cigarette is on the agenda. I don't smoke, I don't drink, so a cigarette was the only thing. We'll steady the nerves and keep running through the news. And now, where were we? Yes, we were under car stickers, letterheads, commercials, the actual scripts. What happens in a radio station is that when someone wants an ad on the station, they come along and we write it down, we have it typed out, and it's set time of going out, the actual wording and things like that, and it's laid out in the form of a script. Now, there are a vast number of them. They're usually read out by some of the DJs. Seldom I am on, because I do have to admit to one thing, I do not make a DJ. The only reason I bring station news is that if station news is important and it lays out allegations, events against people, the comeback is on me. I am the responsible party. So the comeback is on myself at all times. If someone else reads news out and I make a slip, to come back there again as on myself. So it's far better that I take the full responsibility of putting out news, and if somebody else did it, I could safely deny parts of it and say that that wasn't what was meant to be said. So news going out, totally my responsibility here in this station, and I hope always will be. Now, I've skipped over a little thing there. Car stickers, letterheads, commercial scripts, and such items were taken. Now, we don't know by whom. Nobody admits to it. A fair few people have admitted to the fact that it did happen. They were taken into the back garden of the station here, put in a wheelbarrow, and they were set fire to. Now, that is actual fact. Most of the staff of this present Pink Tea have agreed, yes, that did happen. Everyone says they were not for it, but the fact is, it did happen. Now, during those 7 days we were away, the house was so thoroughly searched that a good raiding party by the department or some other people could not have done as well, even if they had that length of time. I am one of those people who perhaps hoard letters and postcards and birthday cards, perhaps too long. I don't really throw out anything in this house. Listeners' letters, yes, we keep them. It doesn't matter how far back they go, we just don't throw them out. So that the situation was that people could look way back into my background. They could turn up letters 20 and 30 years old. Yes, they are still here in the station. All have been opened and read. Some have been taken away and photostated. Yes, I am aware of that. So that all the little secrets in my past are no longer a secret. They're well known to at least 30 people who no doubt have told their friends who have told their friends. So there's little point in trying to dodge some issues on the radio. It's as well that everybody knows me personally at this stage and knows my little bit of background, whatever there is. Now, when knowledge was got that I had been involved in the Republican movement when I was at school, a search was made of this house for a gun. No doubt if such an item had have been found, or ammunition or anything like that, the Gardaí would have been called in, and that would have successfully closed down Radio Dublin. Now, I have a great deal of responsibility here in this station. Not just to the staff, they are just part of the station, they play your records out there. But my responsibility is to listeners. They come first. Above all things, the listeners must come first. Because it is your station out there. That's why. Now, some people have told me, do you know the power of radio? Yes, I am aware of the power of radio, only too fully. I know that things I say on this radio today will make one particular gentleman leave his job. It is most, most unfortunate, and I do regret having to do it. I do sincerely regret having to do it. But unfortunately, this man has taken it upon himself, and maybe perhaps with others, but I cannot prove it, others, upon himself to destroy this station. Not so much me, my reputation as such certainly has been rubbed into the ground and made mud of, but that is of minor consequence. The most important thing is that this radio station as such survives. Its reputation over 11 years has been as clean as snow, and that is the way it must remain. At one stage there, some months ago, I did tell DJ Sylvie, the only one whom I trust 100% at the moment in this station, 100%, and I do mean that. I did tell her that if at any stage a person came along whom she thought could run this station better than myself, could progress a little better and get it to a licensed stage, I was quite prepared to back down, hand over this transmitter, all of the equipment, set it up in some other location, and I'd bow out of Radio Dublin. I'm in Radio Dublin for one purpose only, to ensure that it gets a radio broadcasting license. To make money is, I'm afraid, of no real interest to me. It's going to be quite easily done, get involved with high finances and make a great deal of money. The offers to date have been fairly tempting, as no doubt some of our staff would have seen from some of the documents they turned up in this station. There have been allegations that the station had been taken over by big financial interests. Now, I won't name those financial interests. It would not be fair to them. But I can assure everyone that Radio Dublin is owned totally by myself, the captain, and by DJ Silvey. It is a co-op between two people, and that's the extent of ownership. In the past, approaches have been made by major firms, and I do mean major firms. I won't name out which firms either. All I will say is that one of the firms is among the top six firms in this country. And I'm sure those gentlemen out there sitting wondering, will I name them? No, gentlemen, that's not my style. If you can approach me, certainly, in confidence, myself and Sylvie, certainly we will set out and talk over proposals and everything else. And if we think they are suitable and good for the station, and that it will get a license, and that our listeners out there will still have part of it and share in it and have a say in the running of it, then perhaps we would consider involvement. But to date we haven't found anyone who could support the station in this way. We've met many, many people. We've had nice lunches with them. They were nice, yes. And we've talked over things. And in the long run, we have thrown them all out. The offers of money were considerable. One of the station staff of the Big D at the moment will bear me out in the fact that £250,000, a great deal of money, certainly to any person, it is an enormous amount. That would have been mine there shortly after last Christmas to put in the bank and dispose of as I saw fit for a 60% shareholding in Radio Dublin. But it's very hard to explain to some people that money is not of any interest. Some people just don't believe it. Many of the staff who left me do not believe it, because many will leave for one thing: money, better wages, better conditions, as they are entitled to do. People are quite entitled to do that. They are entitled to leave one job or one station and join up with another. There are no restrictions in this station. Nobody has ever been got rid of as such. When personnel come in here, they stay permanently until they do decide to leave. Now I better drift back onto what actually happened in this station during that week. The week we were away, we left on a Sunday night on an aeroplane, five people, off to enjoy ourselves in Spain. On Monday morning, the format of the station had changed, and the name Radio Dublin had been dropped, and in its place was the Big D. It had been agreed that John Paul would look after this station. John Paul or John O'Brien, whichever you may like to call him. John Paul, at present, working in the Chariot Inn in Ranelagh as a DJ, originally as a Radio Dublin DJ, promoting Radio Dublin on stage. And naturally, we did promote the Chariot Inn. Now working as a Big D rep and as a DJ on the Big D. So there you are. That is our John Paul. And of course, John Paul was to just look after this station, ensure that everything ran smoothly and was not to have airspace. The airspace had been allocated right through the week. The hours were to be 8 a.m. until 12 midnight, and that was it. All of the staff were well versed in their hours. For some unknown reason, on Monday, John Paul took to the airwaves between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m., promoting, of course, the Big D. And it continued as that through the week. On Monday evening here, there was allegedly unrest among the staff over wages. Now, Mr. James Dillon has been to the station here last night and today, and he's agreed that he has had no disagreements over wages. Mike Eastwood, of course, better known perhaps as Michael Cotter in Inchicore. Seamus McLaughlin, known on the airwaves here of Radio Dublin as Shea West. They admit to having no disagreements over wages. And nobody has approached me regarding wages in the station, so I must assume that there's some false allegations there. On Tuesday, the news was brought forth that the station was owned and sold twice over, or three times over, to big financial interests, and that myself and Sylvie did not own the station at all. It was owned by people who were out for a big kill for quick money. Well, again, this was an attempt, of course, to move all of the staff out to a new station which had been set up. Again, this was of no avail. It did not succeed. So, what happened next? Well, a scandal, rumour, or take it what way you will, was dug up from somewhere or other. I was not here, so I could not refute it. I was in Spain, and anyone wishing to close the station couldn't have picked a better opportunity. That would have been ideal. The allegations, of course, are the type of allegations which people cannot disprove. They can deny them, certainly. They can deny them, like myself, until I am blue in the face. But as everyone out there will say, well, there's no smoke without a little bit of fire. And what can one do? How does one disprove this type of allegation? That children were allowed into Radio Dublin and were molested. Yes. I did stop and pause in the pure first news there last Sunday when the transmitter did get going, very low power, and I had to repeat it in case people did not believe what I said. Yes, they were the allegations laid down against me personally, that children were allowed into this radio station here and were indecently molested. That was the actual allegation. All I could do, of course, was deny it and ask for proof. Proof was supposed to have been on a tape recording. Nobody, of course, knew of the tape recording. The story out, of course, there's so many stories, so what do you believe and what do you not believe? A great deal of investigation went on, certainly all through the week. That's perhaps why I find my voice a little bit hoarse. Lack of sleep, having to go out night times and meet in dark laneways. Because, unfortunately, the Radio Dublin studio is being watched and personnel entering here and also going over to the Big D to seek information. Such facts were being reported back there. It is regrettable that such a thing should happen in a close-knit community such as Inchicore, which I've been in since 1961. Fortunately, I can say that everyone in this district, I've got on fairly well with them. Some of them I just know to say good morning to, others I know fairly well, but I think we've all got on fairly well over these past years. 27 years in Inchicore. Perhaps still regarded as a stranger since some of the people are living here generations. The week was spent then in attempting to disprove or prove the allegations, whichever could be done. There was little point in myself going around here and there, particularly say to the local guard station or the local priest and asking them what they thought of me. They'd probably have said, good lad, or you're a great lad, and goodbye. So, a representative of the press was sent around to dig out information. Inquire about me and my background in Inchicore. Particularly in view of allegations like this. This had to be done. Not that we could actually disprove, because rumours and rumours will continue and no doubt will still continue. Now, on Friday, Friday week, there again, there is information from a number of people within this Big D that, yes, a tape recording was manufactured in this station here, and that two of our telephonists were paid to make that tape. Again, it is not really fair. They are young, they are 18 years of age, and to name them out in front of people of this district would be absolutely unfair. It would ruin their lives. They are very young, so there's little point in going into their names. But this tape recording was manufactured. The theme of it was to be child molesting, and they were to imitate children's voices. This tape, as far as I can ascertain, was taken by Jerry Campbell to the local priest in the Oblate Church. It's not known whether it was retained there or not, but so far as we know, no one has the tape as yet. It cannot be got. And that was the extent of the allegations. We were met with these, of course, on Sunday when we returned from Spain. DJ Silvia and myself, naturally both shocked. But what could we do? How could you answer them? We're just after arriving back from a plane, expecting everything to be working and everything rosy in the garden. You couldn't. You need time to think. I needed time to settle back and repair the transmitter, repair all the damage to the house. Well, not physical damage now, you will understand. The transmitter, of course, certainly sabotaged. I will have to say that. But the other equipment, much of it, barring our car stickers, letterheads and things, all I can say in fact about them is that they were broke down. They were not in working order. We put out an appeal then to the band centre in Harcourt Road, and Fran Quigley of the band centre arrived on Monday with a brand new set of decks and a microphone, and that took us back into live broadcasting again. That's how we can operate now and fade in and out music, etc. A sincere thanks there to Fran Quigley. Yes, he has stood by us. Speaking of the band centre, one of our engineers, of course, John Kane, working in the band centre, and another of our engineers. Now again, I can only refer to him as Bill because he is in a responsible job, and to refer to a full name on the airwaves would cost the man his job, and that I don't wish to do. All I can say about Bill is, Bill, I am so terribly disappointed. That is all I can say. Granted, you have stood by me when you've seen what has happened. For that I am most grateful. Yes, I am. But the fact that another station was set up and organized and got into working order in opposition to Radio Dublin, there, that is my disappointment. I know now you didn't realize the facts of the matter, but the thing had been done, and unfortunately had been done while I was away. If all of this had taken place, whether there were truth or not truth in allegations was immaterial. If all of this had been brought into the open a little before I went on holidays, or a couple of hours, that's all it wanted was a couple of hours wait, and I would have been home on the Sunday, and then we could have sat down and talked, and all this matter could have been thrashed out. And if people were in agreement that such allegations were true, even if they thought they were possibly true, then they were quite entitled to leave this station. Even if they thought they were untrue, then anyone is entitled to leave Radio Dublin. There are no balls and chains to tie people down here. Unfortunately, I'm the type that will trust people 100%. Whether from now on I will or not, I don't know. The whole situation has certainly changed me, and who can blame me? Now there are so few people I trust. I do wonder, even at my present staff, it's unfortunate, I do wonder, are they connected with this opposition station? It has changed me to that extent. And hardly any wonder. To leave a house in charge of people, to even leave my own wife on holidays with her sister in Booterstown, because I thought that having come out of hospital after a short stay that she would not be able for it. Leave her and her sisters in Booterstown, and we were all quite happy that this station would operate and continue as it had in the past months. But we were sadly mistaken. On going away, of course, I did ensure that there was some way of contacting me in Spain. Arrangements were made so that I could be got back here fast, within roughly 4 hours of anything happening within the station. But, of course, no message was received. On Wednesday of that week, we left on Sunday. On Wednesday, I checked with the managing director of Sunjet Travel, who had been in touch with the company here, inquiring as to how the situation was at the station, and everything was rolling along perfect, when of course it was not. Now, Sunjet Travel are in absolutely no way involved. There again, Mr. Frank Murray, an employee now, not an owner, an employee of Lasky's of Rathmines Road, had arranged this holiday, and no doubt his arrangements were absolutely perfect. Sunjet Travel provided a holiday just. They were not involved. They just gave us a holiday out of the goodness of their hearts. And for the fact that we were doing commercial advertising on Radio Dublin for them. Mr. Frank Toulon of Sunjet and Eric have both been to the station here. And I personally am absolutely satisfied that they had nothing to do with what amounts to a major conspiracy within this station. So there we are. Now we will take ourselves back to the happenings of the week. The other little items I found when I came home. The ESB meter, of course, had been interfered with. Shortly before I left, the ESB had read the meter, as is normal in any normal house. They read the meter and they go away and everything is in order. Now, sometime on either Thursday or Friday of the week we were away, the ESB were telephoned. Nobody has admitted to telephoning them, but they did arrive here on Friday and read the meter. The meter was interfered with to such an extent that it looked like it was being deliberately rigged or stopped, the account being slowed down. Now, there are methods of doing that, quite simply, having been in the electrical business, I'm quite well aware of methods to stop that, without it being obvious to meter readers and things like that. But then again, this interference with the meter was reasonably obvious to a meter reader. He could hardly miss it. And so he took himself back. Fortunately, he was only a man reading a meter. If he had been an inspector, the station would have no electricity at the moment. So that on Monday morning, an inspector arrived to read Radio Dublin's meter. Well, having seen the occurrences of the week, or heard of them, and what was the situation in the station here itself, I immediately suspected that there was something wrong, radically wrong, and the ESB were not admitted. A check by myself on the meter very quickly showed that a small hole in the side of it, a pinhole, very tiny, not obvious to anyone except for a torch looking for something in particular, was there, and no doubt it had jammed up the gear wheel on the meter. This, maybe a pin or some such item had been inserted to stop the gear wheel, but I'm sure the ESB man reading it was made well aware of it. This brought an inspector along. Now, I had two things I could do. I could explain it to the ESB when he came in, that I was not here and that this happened during the week. But then again, if you place yourself in the position of an ESB inspector, would you believe it? I had to place myself in such a position, and the answer must be no, I would not. So what would I do? I would disconnect the meter and inform the tenant that he could contact the board and write it, put it down in writing, and when they had the matter sorted out, then the electricity would be reconnected, which is the normal method. That is the normal method with the ESB. They must stick to rules and regulations. So my only way out was to spend the night in a search of the city. Friends here, there and yonder, in attempting to get a cover of an ESB meter, change it so that there is no hole in the side of it. And fortunately for this station, this was done. The following morning, Tuesday, the ESB were admitted, they inspected with a fine tooth comb. They knew what they were looking for, but naturally it was not there. And they went away quite happy. Fortunately for us, other items we had thought over on Monday night, we were thinking that, well, the organisation behind the station to close it was so thorough that minor little things seemed to have been left out. All the staff had been drawn out, the transmitter destroyed, the record decks, the tape decks, all of the tapes wiped clean, letterheads done away with, car stickers all gone, most of the records of the station had gone. Well, there you are, the electricity was almost off. It was certainly thought that it would go. The only remaining item, of course, naturally, was the phone line. So it was unusual that this was still in operation. We didn't know what. We surmised all sorts of things, but our surmising was wrong, because we had thought of different methods to be used by Mr. Frank Murray to close this station. No, an ordinary straightforward axe through the underground cable ensured that we did not have a telephone line. And that is what happened Monday night. An axe through our telephone line. This had the effect of cutting off 50 or maybe 60 other subscribers in the Inchicore area. I had to get on to the post office and inquire. We first of all thought the line was dead, and it took some considerable time to trace it to what had happened. Regrettably, the underground line was part of the Irish Engineering Union problem. It's their place to replace that. That's their type of work. And the maintenance crew dare not touch it. The maintenance crew are still on work. The engineering are, as you'll know, on strike. I had to personally get on to the Irish Engineering Union and persuade them, unofficially, they could not officially attend to my line, to persuade them unofficially to get someone along to lend a hand with this line and help me sort it out. And that was done, and at 1 o'clock on Tuesday, our phone line came back into operation. And we're glad to say it is still in operation. And that was all of the happenings there. Behind this, Radio Dublin, certainly a most concerted effort to close it down. I was looking there through the papers just a short while before the news to see what mentions there are of it. I got a quick couple of glances at it. Looking through the people, I see on page 4 a mention of the fact of the Cray twins. Well, that, the Cray twins are not involved, but that reminded me of the organisation behind this station to close it. And certainly I do personally name out Mr. Frank Murray of Clontarf, working in Lasky's, an employee as such of Lasky's in Rottenmines Road, as the genius behind all of these ideas, not the actual perpetrator, since Mr. Frank Murray is so expert at such things that most people don't know the name, it does not ring a bell. Dr. Don of ARD knows, to his regret, what Frank Murray can do. He could close that station down, ARD, for 3 days. Dr. Don has told me personally of his staff being offered £250 to pour water over his transmitter, and he will verify that. My thanks to you, Dr. Don. We have had disagreements in the past. Perhaps we will have in the future, but I think we are agreed on one point there. Such attempts to close stations down are not the order of the day. They have brought the whole radio movement of Ireland into disrepute. The chances of it ever recovering are very, very small. Personally, I cannot see it recovering. The only ones who will gain from this are, of course, the Department of Post and Telegraphs and RTE. And who can blame them for making hay while the sun shines? Yes, and while this tape there was being manufactured at the instigation of Mr. Murray, when it was made here in this station, the actual voices or anything else, I have not heard. All I know from a lot of people is the existence of it. The only words from Mr. Frank Murray was, when it was finished, is, "We've got him at last." Well, yes, certainly the campaign was so thorough, so terribly thorough, that short, it should normally have closed any station. Such type of scandal people run from, and who can blame them? They do not want to get involved, whether it be true or untrue. And what can I do? I can simply deny it, and that's as much as I can do. I can ask people to investigate and go about and search and turn up the evidence. But unfortunately, the thing is that it's supposed to be children involved. And as anyone would know, I can go along to children and ask them several questions, and they will say yes, yes, yes to. The next man can go along and he can ask the very same questions, and they will say no, no, and no to. Such our children. So where do you come out with the truth? No one knows. A lot of people in this station whom I entrusted with a great deal of responsibility, yes, I did, and I have found them most lacking. Our engineers even, certainly our main engineer Bill, I do still trust 100%, yes. Our other engineer, John Kane, I've been talking with John on the telephone, and he has explained that, yes, himself and Bill did make the transmitter for the Big D. They made it. They manufactured such a transmitter and set it up and got it into working order. Apparently just a few days before they broke up. Well, now, personally, knowing the setup there, a beautifully carpeted station, new aerial, new transmitter, record decks, mixing equipment, beautiful, I find it hard to believe that such a station can be set up and operated within such a terrible short time. No other station in this country has succeeded in doing it. Perhaps it can be done. Perhaps not. That's up to our listeners out there to decide. Again, when I discovered that there was a breakdown in transmissions in the Big D during the week, I did inquire as to what happened when they did come back on the air. And the information was that John Kane had personally repaired that fault in the transmitter. Naturally, I was on the telephone inquiring if he had, just to verify the information I had to hand. And yes, he said he did. He sold the transmitter for money, and he went over and he repaired it again for money. The money apparently seems to work wonders everywhere. It is unfortunate that this station, which is struggling so hard, so terribly hard, for one thing, a radio broadcasting license, as I've told many of the staff since, a radio broadcasting license would have been theirs within about 8 weeks, eight short weeks. They would have been able to hold up their heads and wear a Radio Dublin badge around town and be congratulated, sign autographs and everything else. And what is the situation now? The telephone calls yesterday there were that some of the people themselves were on the phone saying they were having a rough time because they were wearing Big D badges. And I personally had to go on the air yesterday evening about 6 o'clock to appeal to everyone out there to keep away from violence. It's not part of this station. It never will be. And would everybody please refrain from it? It only does the station name bad. It cannot do it good. Young children or adults or anything else, they're entitled to wear what badge they like, whether it be a Big D badge or a Radio Dublin badge. They should be left in peace to walk about the streets as such. Well and good, some of our listeners are angry. I am angry to find that I entrusted my complete staff to this house and studio and find that it had been taken apart with a fine-tooth comb when I come back. Yes, I am angry. But there's nothing I can do about it at this stage. So, listeners out there, if you support Radio Dublin, your support, by all means, we do like you to listen in, by all means, ring us in for a request. But if you see someone wearing a Big D badge, they are quite entitled to do so. Just as you're entitled to wear a Radio Dublin badge. Just as I am proud to wear a Radio Dublin badge about town. I don't get Big D supporters coming over to me demanding that I take it off. So why should you demand that Big D supporters take their badges off? Again, yes, I've had some letters back, copies of letters that have gone to the Big D. Yes, by all means, write into the station here. Let's know what you think of this station. Let's know what the others think of their station. By all means, do that. But do it in a nice, peaceful, orderly fashion. Letters are quite in order. Try to keep the language a little bit on the nice side. Well, not too bad, anyway. Some of your letters in this week. Now, the language, I couldn't read them out over the air. I can understand your feelings, yes. My feelings are roughly the same. But, again, keep it quiet, please, please. Nice and quiet. We'll attempt to get over this little situation. We may recover, we may not recover. I personally do not know at this stage. Last Sunday, when I came back here and was left on my own eventually late at night here to do more repairs and repairs to the transmitter, there was a couple of minutes when I thought to myself, is it worthwhile going on? Yes, I did think that. The temptation was great to just close up shop, move house and get away from this station, which had such a tremendous amount of scandal about it. But again, I had to think of one thing. Listeners out there, the number is great, granted, is enormous. I am grateful for support. Yes, I am very grateful. So, the listeners had to come first. That is why I can work throughout a complete week. For 5 days, certainly, since Sunday last until Friday evening, there was no question of sleep. It was out of the question. There was no way I could go. There was nothing. There was no time to go. 24-hour-a-day operation. Finish working on the transmitter. Work on it as long as I could. 7 o'clock, 7:30 in the morning. Curl up on the floor of the studio in front of a fire and wait on our first DJ to arrive in, say, 10 or 15 minutes. That was sleep. And then back into action again. Work, answer telephones, answer callers to the door. Granted, there have been hundreds, there have been so many people wanting to help out, and for this help, I am most grateful. It's fairly fair to throw out an address. I've already thrown out one man's name, Frank Murray. Frank, certainly the organizer, maybe not the perpetrator, in the actual actions, but the actual organizer, the mind behind such devious schemes to close down Radio Dublin. Him I would like to see, but no, he has apparently vanished from the city. No doubt he is tuned in at this moment. I have heard words, certainly, that he is running scared, and if I was in his position, yes, I would be. But if it's to be run scared from me, from acts of violence, you can forget it. I am not of the type. As I said, James Dillon and Mike Eastwood and Mr. Shea West called to the station last night and again today. James Dillon was wondering, did I need the truth out of this matter? Well, I think I have appealed over the radio and to everyone and to James Dillon himself to dig out the truth, if such thing can be dug out. And he arrives along here today and he says to me that he thinks that the accusations laid against me, that there may be some truth in them. That is what James Dillon says today. And I have told him that any information he can gather up, that they should be reported to the local Garda station. Well, that is the position in your Radio Dublin. So where does the station go to from here? Well, from here we must continue and continue to investigate. But there again, we cannot be throwing up news all over the place every day of the week. All of our listeners want music to keep them happy, and we do try to provide that. If there's major developments within this station, they'll be brought to you at around 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock on each day. If there are no major developments, we'll run through the normal life of the station. Of plenty of music, the odd few commercials coming in to pay staff some wages, naturally, and to get some further equipment. And again, a slight interruption there with the feedback coming in on our headphones. You will have noticed we're not back up onto full power yet. The damage, of course, was to such an extent that it will take some time yet to fully recover and get our equipment back into order.